In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome back to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm John Senecal. He's Brian Shackman. And we're at a big part of the season now. We're coming up on another Yankees-Red Sox matchup.
Yep.
I stood in line all winter long, Brian. I'm on the roller coaster, which is the Yankees. I'm not getting off. I'm not getting off. I don't care how many peaks and valleys and dips and corkscrews we're going to have on the Yankees. But I'm staying on it.
Because now they're looking better, right? We'll see what
parts
happens.
Parts of them are looking better.
But, you know, before we get into the teams and the matchups, we know the pitching matchups. I do want to follow up on this foreign substance crap that we're dealing with. You know,
the sticky situation.
Boom. So now we're finally seeing them crack down on it. And I just was curious. It's kind of a circus. They say it's a work in progress. I just didn't know. You know, I have my own thoughts, but I mean, what do you think? What do you think of Max Scherzer staring down Joe Girardi?
Well, it's weird. Like you think you when you're driving a car, right? You haven't had anything to drink, and you're pulling up to a checkpoint, right?
Yep.
You automatically get nervous, right?
Sure, I get
automatically
nervous.
Even though
I've done nothing wrong, and I see a cop, I get nervous.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, these guys automatically are agitated, right?
Yeah.
They're agitated, and then they start thinking, like, well, I mean, how dare you check me, right? Like, oh, I have nothing. Well, of course you have nothing now, because you know they're looking, right? But, yeah, the reaction has been awesome. I mean,
You think it's funny?
I think it's funny, because, listen, Joe Girardi's Joe Girardi. He's just trying to get under Scherzer's skin. He knows Scherzer's going to be all jammed up. Like, Scherzer's an easy person to get riled up. They call him Mad Max. He just looks kind of crazy, right? With his eyes and everything. But you know, I mean, Girardi loves riling things up. He's the closest thing the Yankees had to Billy Martin in ages as an umpire.
But it didn't work.
They lost
that game, and I think they lost the next one 13-12 or whatever.
But I think it's hilarious, though, that these guys are, like, some players, they don't care. Like, you know, Cole got checked like 3 or 4 times, I think, and he just kind of handed it. DeGrom kind of laughed it off. You know, Scherzer's throwing his gloves. Sergio Romo's dropping trow down to his ankles in Oakland.
They even checked Otani, and he's like, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, sir. But here's my thing, and I know this has been talked about a little bit, but people watching and listening who don't follow it as closely as we do, there has to be some accountability for managers requesting it, and they find nothing.
I don't even know the exact rule. Like, can managers just automatically say?
I don't know, but I know that I think that that's what sort of got in Scherzer. I think she already asked for it, but like, it's almost like, I think the point is like, it's almost like done on purpose. It could disrupt the flow of a game. It could disrupt the rhythm of a pitcher. And if specifically it's not a league mandated check, then you should lose a challenge or something, because I don't think they should be able to just do it.
There's got to be some repercussions.
There has to be.
Well, I just find it interesting how the umpires are checking after they come off the field too. Like, they're always checking the pitchers after the inning.
Right.
As they're walking off.
As if there's here comes the shortstop, and pitcher under the influence. Something mid-inning where the shortstop drops something on the grass,
right,
and he picks it up.
Or is the catcher rubbing something? Who knows? But the other thing is the amount of time that these balls come in and out of play, like, the only way you're really going to know is to check.
Right.
You're going to have to check. So, I mean, it's not, obviously this isn't a perfect thing. Like, there's no possible way you're going to be able to start this and make everyone happy. But Major League Baseball is going to have to figure something out where, like you said, you can't just stop play and start asking to be frisked.
No, and the thing is, here's the deal, is that what you said earlier is exactly one of the main points, is that everyone knows they're checking, so it's kind of stupid now, because they're not. Who's going to be dumb enough to have catchable stuff?
Well, who's dumb enough to keep doing PEDs, Robinson Cano?
So the key is, if they set out that what they should do is they should do random checks forever. Like, that to me is it, because then you
just totally random. Like,
yes,
if they notice something on video or something like that.
And then, but I don't know if the Players Association will go over, because then you lull people into a false sense of confidence, and then they can maybe get caught. The other thing is that we have to figure out, to what degree do they allow something. I mean, like, Garrett Richards the other night, they said something like 500 RPMs less than he usually does. Now, I didn't even know anything about the stupid spin rates before this year. I never thought about it. I mean, it makes total sense. But, like, clearly, like, a lot of people think, you know, I said this before, that the Red Sox might have been involved pretty heavily because a lot of their pitchers have dropped off. I mean, if there's a noticeable difference of, like, beyond more than 300 or whatever.
Well, across the league, there's a noticeable
right,
difference.
500 means there's no doubt. So the question is, are they going to listen to the players and allow something? And here's a, like, a pie in the sky. They're into this negotiation, right? We're worried about this labor thing.
Yeah, next year.
And what if, like, the league is just fleecing them mentally and being like, well, this is
to get
the
them
rule.
Infighting.
No, no, no. It's not even that. Listen to this. Just hear me out. So you have this thing where they're checking it and they're not allowing any of it. And all of a sudden, like, the players are like, this is total bullcrap. We should be able to do something, like rosin and sunscreen. What's the problem? And that the league is setting up is that now that's a give back. So that right. they say to the players now, okay, we'll let you do rosin and sunscreen. Give us something.
Typical
they
just, union negotiation.
But they just created it out of nothing. So it's a right. freebie for the
They're
owners.
They're not taking anything. It's already there.
Right. So, like, in some ways, if they make that a concession type thing in negotiations, then the owners have totally fleeced the players.
Now, the other way to look at it, too, is to get the hitters and the pitchers in fighting. You know, the hitters, you got some saying, well, keep the sticky substance. I don't want a ball in my ear. And the other ones are saying, well, I'm batting 240 across the board in MLB. Get rid of the sticky substances so the spin rate drops so I can start raking and drop, bring my average up, get a bigger contract. Now, the pitchers, on the other hand, obviously are saying, you know, I want the sticky substance, keep my spin rate up, get a bigger contract, more strikeouts.
You well, the pitcher so, thing is, I'll just say this, it seems like a different argument, a bigger argument for the hitters and the pitchers, because, like, you're always going to need pitchers in baseball. And if everyone's dealing with the same crap, if you're a better pitcher, you're a better pitcher. Like, I feel like that there's more of an even Steven with the hitters than they take that little edge, and that's the difference between the millions and the non-millions. Like, if the pitchers have the whole same setup, pitchers are pitching. The league's always going to have pitchers, so right. like you're going to have someone's going to be making money pitching, and so what does it matter what the rules are? I don't know. I mean, you could say that about the pine tar with the hitters, but
in the recent years they've been so jacked up about, you know, strikeouts, and these guys. I mean, look at Trevor Bauer. If you look at his numbers, they aren't amazingly awesome over his career. They're not. And the guy is making $30-something million a year. Yeah. And he's looked at as one of the best premier pitchers in the game. Now, granted, he might be, but, you know, you're giving these guys these huge contracts based on a sample size.
I always tell the story, and this, you know, from watching Rico Bronya's career, because I was, you know, close with his family for a stretch when he was in the bigs, is that, you know, I was always, I'm still anti-PED. But if I was in AA, right, and I was absolutely maxed, and I was the best at every level I'd ever been
at. And you knew you maxed out.
And I maxed out my talent, and I wasn't good enough. But I knew that if I had one fraction of this better, and then I could make a huge career of it, I understand.
Like, or you saw guys walking right by you doing it.
Right.
And they got in their limo or whatever, and they were gone.
I understand. I understand it. I want to know how to figure out how to, if it's not regulate or make it more fair. Like, to me, like, ultimately, all that matters is the game sucks right now, for the most part. Like, we're trying to, like, all these, you know, really interesting social media people, they're making bat flips fun or whatever. Like, if we have to make bat flips fun, like, we're barking up the wrong tree. Like,
I know it's home runs for ages.
But the millennials, and they want to make it fun. Like, I'm all for fun, but, like, you're not really getting the point. The point is the game is not fun as a game.
Dude, guys are bat flipping doubles to the warning track. I'm not even kidding you. Like, I mean, look at Luke Voit just the other night. I mean, with the Yankees, he literally had his hand up and a triple off the top of the wall. And granted, I thought it was going out too, but that's a little bit closer. But I'm watching guys bat flip flyouts
right.
to the warning track.
Because they want to make SportsCenter or whatever. They think that's how to
get
attention.
Well, they did. They look stupid.
For the wrong reasons. But my point is, ultimately, you're doing that. That's like putting lipstick on a pig. You know what I mean? You can have fun with it and whatever. I don't even give a crap. It's fine. You do whatever you want. But, like, to me, fundamentally, like, we need more Mookie Betts, you know, fly ball, throwing the guy out at home type stuff.
Real baseball.
Yeah. So, like, to me, like, what rules can get us back to that?
But what about, you know, Tyler Glasnow came right out and said that the reason he got hurt is because he can't use the sunscreen and rosin, right?
I believe him.
Now, is that a whole other issue? Now, are you going to look and see, now my premier pitchers are getting hurt, or pitchers in general are getting hurt, we got to figure something out. We can't just say you can't you can't allow anything. And obviously, Rosin wasn't cutting it. You have players saying that Rosin is a total joke.
We're going to go down a rabbit hole because I think that, like, this whole, whether it's Tommy John or whether it's the gripping agents, you know, the human body, like, there were always this thing all throughout childhood, whether it was J.R. Richard or Nolan Ryan, there seemed like there was a total cap on how hard a body could throw a baseball, right? And so now we're effing with other things to change that. And so, like, I honestly feel like if the fastball was a reasonable velocity, we'd play the game differently, right? So I think the pressure to throw 100 is so, you know, all this stuff is like, it's just, how do we one up? And then the hitter's got to do, I don't know. I just feel
always trying to be better, but you really don't need to.
Right, I don't know. I don't know how to solve it. Anyway, so let's move on since we didn't solve it. I want to talk about...
No one's going to solve it.
You know, I got a couple things on the Red Sox side. You know, we're John Senecal, Brian Jackman here, fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, as we do always. This is a big show because we're leading into a Red Sox-Yankees series. It's why we started this whole thing in the first place. You know, for me... when I look at the Red Sox, and I want to talk pitchers in a second. And
so probably no chance in this series of the Yankees catching the Red Sox. Obviously not.
No, no.
But it could still be interesting at the back end. Very interesting.
Listen, I think that again, like, the Red Sox are not a runaway first place team, and I don't think any of them are. So the question is, what happens? And, you know, if they're all three teams are within five games going into the end of August, it's going to be really interesting. So for me, if you were the Yankees, you want to just find a way to get close to even with that second place team, whether that second place team's Tampa or with Boston. So when you have any head-to-head matchups, you have to take them to town. And, you know, like, I, in terms of players, you know, we just sort of get a temperature check of players. Like, I feel like two guys in the Red Sox are not getting enough attention, believe it or not. I think Rafi Devers, if you look at the stats, I mean, he's up there in the top five in RBI. He's batting
and everything.
And the thing is that they said early in the year he can't handle the fastball. And then I think he saw the headlines and then he went out and
handled the fastball.
And he's handling the fastball now. And to me, because he's a little pudgy and he's always smiling, I think people think he doesn't give a crap. And I think I'm sort of learning that that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case.
Well, I mean, also the Red Sox, I mean, they are typically Xander Bogaert's team.
Sure, and as they should be.
And JD is, you know, their big marquee signing over the last whatever years for offense. So he does kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit. You know, it's almost like Gio Urshela would, but obviously Gio's not having the same year, but right. Kind of the same deal. They're Gio's a better defender, but they're good at what they do, but nobody really knows it.
Yeah, and then you got a guy who had so much attention in Dalbec, who's been terrible, who sometimes looks lost at the plate.
Now, he's an older rookie, right?
Yeah, he's not super young. But
is he one of those guys that maybe is not going to figure it out, like Frazier?
I don't know, because he had such a great spring. But he's a guy who's hitting at the bottom of the order, who's really a cleanup hitter, right? I mean, that's where he would be.
Yeah, if you don't see first baseman hit at the bottom of the order.
If he projects to where he's supposed to be in the bigs, and first basemen are tough because it's a tough position to break into because you really have to deliver offensively. And I think that, you know, whereas outfielders, you get really, you know, get three spots where you can sort of break in or what have you, but you need great power numbers at first. And the truth is that if he doesn't, they will give him this year and they will give him next spring. But if he continues to hit like a nine hitter, he can't stick around. The other guy that I've been happy with that I didn't think, you know, we were in right field on opening day and Renfro was there. And he's a big guy. He's bigger than
I thought
he was. I never knew he was that big. And his defense has been, I didn't know anything about him. His defense has been, you know, he can throw. I mean, it's awesome. And he's finally hitting it. He's the kind of guy that sort of snuck up on me and I like. So, you know, when I think of I still hold the same thing. The spin rate stuff has hurt the Red Sox pitchers. We'll get to the starters in a second. But if they can get any production out of 7-8-9, I think the Red Sox are hard to beat. And it's like with Dalbec, you never know. Renfro has been better. So, like, to me, I swear to God, because I think that the middle of the order and the top of the order is always going to have somebody kind of come through. And it's always 7-8-9. You can say that about all teams, but especially, like...
It's always 7-8-9.
It is. And if they go, you know, one for nine every game, they're not going to win.
Yeah, well, one player for the Yankees that was in the 7-8-9 slot for most of the season has bumped his way up significantly, and that's Elgary Sanchez.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Big homer the other night to tie it up in that game they won when Chapman blew it. We'll talk about him too.
So it's crazy because, you know, I remember like a few weeks ago listening to Aaron Boone's press conference and they were talking about how
he's so boring.
Yeah, talking about how Gary Sanchez has been playing much better. And I remember looking at my kids, I'm like, what are you talking about? He's awful. Then I look at his stats and I'm like, he has been playing better. He's raised his average and they say he's quieted his lower half. He's not jumping as much, you know, lower half on the of his body, and he's hitting the ball, and it's and it shows. All right, so he's got his starting job back, and the other guy who needs to get work is Torres. He's just awful. He just can't figure it out in his lower half. Even my son said it. He goes, "Why is he stepping so much when he swings? He's just he's like out of control." And you know, it's typical.
So his timing's off. He can't catch up to the fastball because his setup is too slow.
I just think it's just crazy. I mean, he's 2 for 35 with 15 Ks his last 10 games. I mean, that's just awful. You know,
how worried are you with Chapman?
All right. Well, I mean, Chapman.
I mean, my take is well founded on this.
Everybody, as a closer, right? When you implode, it's the end of the world, right?
You're gonna blow.
And it's gonna happen, right? Especially when before that you gave up like one earned run in 23 innings pitched, right? You've been awful lately. Now, do you attest that to just a bump, or do you attest that to? Back to what we were talking about, the sticky substance, the spin rate, and he had a meltdown in the dugout. He didn't want to walk the batter, so you got that going for you. But listen, hey, there's something going on, but I'm going to say right now it's just a small blip in the radar.
You want me to repeat my take?
You think he's crazy?
No, I just don't think the Yankees, and again, you can stamp it and bring it back to me, I don't think they'll ever win a World Series with him as their closer. Period. Full stop.
You got to make it to the World Series first.
Sure, but that's
the other problem with the Yankees is when you follow in the footsteps of Rivera. I mean, your bar is set so dang high; it's insane.
Yeah, there's enough distance. He didn't take over straight for Rivera, did he?
Well, he went and got traded to the Cubs, and then
there was someone in between Rivera.
Well, they tried with what's his name, Betances. They tried with him, and he didn't pan out. And then
I don't know. I don't think it's like following up Vince Lombardi. Maybe people think about it. I feel like
being a closer in the MLB sucks, dude. I would not want that job. I mean, they pay well. But, you know, you can fail as a pitcher, a starting pitcher, and no one even remembers it. You got 8 more innings to figure it out. You know?
It's like I don't want my kid to be a goalie or a pitcher in general, but being a closer would be the bottom line,
you got to throw strikes, right? He wasn't throwing strikes. He's walking batters, right? I mean, is that the sticky substance thing? I don't know. I mean,
he was pretty effective 3-4 years ago.
He's not pouring water off his head every time he comes in anymore, right. So who knows what's in that,
right?
Right. Well, I mean, the bottom line is the Yankees need to score runs. They're not scoring runs in 82. They got tons. When you get double-digit walks in a game and you're in the eighth inning and you've only scored 2 runs, there's an issue.
Right.
There's an issue, right? So they got to figure that out, obviously. They've still got an issue with center field. Judge is not your center fielder. He's got to go to right field. Frazier, I think it's time to cut bait again. Jeez. I'm telling you. Like he's batting .190. You know, he's lost his job to Andujar, right? But still, I mean, you need a left-handed bat. I'm going with Chuck Nasty in Colorado. Get him. Get Charlie Blackmon. Put him out in the outfield. He's batting good. He's a left-handed bat. He'll have to shave and not look like a werewolf.
I'm trying to think of who does Arizona have anybody? Because they're going to want to sell.
Jesus, man. Arizona's awful.
But they might have somebody to pick. I don't know. Hey, what about
injured? Kendall Marte they got.
What about we've already talked about him. Right. What about guys that are injured that might help late season beyond trades?
Well, I mean, Severino was on the track to come back, as Sale is. Right. But Severino had a little setback with his groin, so he's out another month, so he's probably not back until August, mid-August, which just still could be time, you know.
Well, you can have a fresh arm. I mean, you know, with Sale, I know he's pitching at Fenway this weekend, facing some live batters, and so they say maybe right after the All-Star break. I feel like it'll be more like late July. I mean, like he's just one bad wind up from going being done. You know, I mean, I feel like they're going to be very careful.
It's so scary with the Tommy John thing because, you know, it's recent history with the injury says they come back stronger, right? And they throw harder. But I can't imagine what that's like as a pitcher, that every time that you let go of that ball, knowing that the torque is on there, that could just be.
Right.
Right. Now, granted, that could happen at any time pre-Tommy John, but it's not in the back of your head that you got some, you know, like your whatever is your hip ligament or whatever.
I think the whole Tommy John to help you needs to happen younger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's when you're like in college or in the minors.
They're throwing them around now like they're Skittles.
No, it's like you have to get them. Yeah. You know, it's almost like you have to get them. So what we have for matchups, we have Martin Perez against Domingo Germán. We have Nate Eovaldi against J-Mo Montgomery. And then you have Eduardo Rodriguez against Gerrit Cole. I mean, everyone's going to look at that Sunday matchup.
It's probably on ESPN, I'm sure, too, right?
Well, I don't know. It was listed as a 110 game.
Really?
Tickets that
Fox
I can't
game
sell.
Of the week.
Listen, Rodriguez is not what he was. He wasn't pitching well before the spin rate crap. He's just, there's something off with him. I don't really know what it is.
Germán's last start was not good.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't cheer for him either. And, you know, Martin Perez hasn't pitched well either. So, like, from a starter, Eovaldi.
So what you're saying is we're not excited about this pitching matchup.
No, I mean, I like Eovaldi. I mean, but I think Martin Perez has been he struggled. And Eduardo has not had a good year. So right now, Eduardo's not year one. So I would give advantage in terms of overall to the Yankees on the mound for this series.
The pitching has not been the Yankees' problem. I mean,
it's offense. I know
it's offense. I mean, look, the last time the Yankees played the Red Sox, it was a total disaster for the Yankees. So if you come away with one win, it's good. But you got to keep winning the series. So the Yankees.
I think you
got to win the series or sweep them. Yeah. Obviously.
No, I was going to say you're okay with one Yankee win.
Crap! You just got swept by them, and you look like fools doing it. You know what I mean?
You
got
to take two.
But it's better than getting swept. You know, anything's better than getting swept. I mean, the Yankees are coming. They're playing better baseball. But again, you cannot win games when you have all those runners on base. I mean, you can't hope everyone's going to score two runs against you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you get lucky in the ninth inning.
I mean, listen, it's funny when you break it down. It makes that Friday game really important because, I mean, nobody can get swept. But I really think it's going to be a dogfight. My question is, honestly, when I look at this division, can you get two wildcard teams out of the East? And I'm not sure you can. And that means that the top two teams in this division mm-hmm. make the playoffs.
I know. Are the Rays gonna get resuscitated? I mean, we totally didn't even talk about Wander Franco coming up to the team. But their pitching is a mess right now, and I don't know. I feel like somehow they're gonna figure it out, but they just don't.
Won't do is they won't make a big deal.
No, they
at
won't.
The deadline. So
maybe that's their big deal, Wander Franco.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was exciting.
And they probably got some stud down in AAA ready to pitch too. Who knows?
We'll see. I mean, ultimately, I think that. It's hard to predict what they will do. I just feel like they'll be there. And I think it'll be between the Red Sox and the Yankees, and one of those two teams will not make the playoffs.
Sale comes back. Severino comes back. Do the Red Sox still need to...
Yeah.
They still need something.
Yeah.
And the Yankees definitely, we know, need something.
Yeah. So, I think, you know, people talk about Sale's the same as getting a pitcher at the deadline, and so that can help. But I still think the Red Sox need more. And I don't think they need a lot of position players. I mean, I think that they're just... They just don't. And so I don't know if they can get a legit starter or not because the market is such a premium on it. But I think if the Red Sox win two or three on this one, it's not sayonara for the season, but it's a really good result because they've been a little inconsistent lately. But anyway, we got to run. So that's what it is. What's your prediction quickly on the series?
I'm going to go Yankees 2 out of 3, and they're going to win the first and last game and miss in the middle.
Gotcha. I think that's probably pretty solid. I think it'll go either way. I don't see a sweep. And I think if the Red Sox could win 2 or 3, it would be actually a huge plus because I just don't think they're playing super great right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got time left. The season's, you know, we're not at the All-Star break.
It's not young. Season's not young.
It's not young.
But it's far, far, far
from
over.
It's time in the season for players that aren't performing.
To step up
or be gone. Yep. But it's not time to freak out if you're 4.5, 5, 6 games back.
Yeah. He's John Seneca. I'm Brian Shackman. As always, please listen. Please share. Please like. You're listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.